that curve to the general workout of the day, grand scheme of things? How do you choose, how do you go from that curve to your choices of workouts over the 3 months, 6 months?
Remember, that didn't happen. The workouts were the product of the, of hell. I'll tell you how, where the workouts came from. The first time Fran was done, and I did, I was 16 years old. My old man had pulled the car out of the garage, and we went down to Sears Roebuck. I was an aspiring young gymnast, and I got one of these Sears Ted Williams, 110-pound. I look to the general here for age group recognition here. This thing was blue plastic weights with cement in them. And it was $19.95, and it was a Sears Ted Williams weight set, and it had these exercises in it. And I'm like, is this what Ted Williams does? It's gay. And it was, he was doing lateral raises and curls and shit. I go, you're fucking kidding me, because you'd never get anywhere in gymnastics with those movements. That's a fact. I knew that when I was 14 years old. So I started playing with this thing and looking, geez, what could you do? I mean, how do I extend the range of motion and put a watch to this thing? Because here's the truth about a gymnastics routine. It takes about 2 minutes, and in the early phase of the season, it puts you on your ass, flat on your back, sucking for air, thinking, dear God, there's not enough air in the entire universe for my needs currently. Does that sound familiar? So I thought, how do we mimic that? And I actually stumbled across the exact example of Fran. Now, the immediate recourse of that, of what brought me to my feet from flat on my back, praying for more air in the universe, was I threw up all over my shirt. That's an attention getter. And I hosed it off and wrung it out, and the dogs cleaned up the rest of the vomit. And I went across the street, and I got my buddy. And I, hey, Brian, you got to check this shit out. He goes, dude, what's on your shirt? I'm like, don't worry about it. Come on. And we went across the street, and I put him through the paces, and he threw up all over everything. And I was like, wow, man, a movement is born, right? I mean, that's the motivation. It's like this hurts so bad. But I knew even as a little kid that anything that did that to you, that if you expose yourself to it enough, you would get what? Better. See, I come from a different era. When I was a kid, look, I saw one time going over the beach with my folks, this guy riding a unicycle to the beach. I thought, man, that is the coolest thing on earth, to ride a one-wheeled bicycle. I got to get a piece of that. So my buddies and I did the very thing you'd expect kids to do, right? We went out and stole two unicycles. Not easy to do, but we did. It took 2 days. We had two unicycles. And then the very next thing we did was got on them. See, in the modern era, here's what you do. You'd take a correspondence course. You'd get on the internet and download some material and read it, right? And then maybe sign up for a seminar, huh? Go pay $1,000 per weekend and learn to ride a unicycle. No. What we did is I got on the unicycle, I got out in the backyard, and I hugged the post on the, and here I am on the unicycle, right? And I go, hey, dude, watch this. I go, hey, just rode it. Did you see that? I did. He said, I didn't count. That's not long. And then it's 2 seconds, 3 seconds. It wasn't a month later, we're on these things in the middle of the street having bamboo fights. Yeah, until someone seriously injured an eyeball. That was a change the sport a little here. But we knew that anything that you practiced at, you got better at. And if it came to fitness, that delta is fitness. That improvement is fitness. So what do we do? I was working with things that just knocked the shit out of you, and I knew if you got better at it, it'd be fitter. That's kind of where the workouts came from. But that's a hard sell on a program where, hey, check this shit out. I mean, people used to do that to me, introduce me to folks and go, hey, this is my coach. Coach, this is my brother Joe. Joe, coach, have you thrown up on yourself in no time? You know, and it's like, it's hard to run a business that way. It's not necessarily attractive to everyone that hears about it. But let me make no mistakes about it. The essence of these workouts was derived from their brutality and application. That was it. Everything else has been reverse engineered. You understand that? But let's go full circle. Now that I understand that fitness is work capacity across broad time and modal domains, I am particularly vigilant to look for movements that move large loads, long distances, and quickly. And then we test them. Guess what? They suck. It hurts like hell. That's one of the aspects of it. That is the intensity, by the way, of this program. And though it is at the heart of the resultant adaptation, which is inordinately positive, we believe we can measure, it was a byproduct of the effort. Certainly a byproduct. Did I answer your question?
What about the long term? How do you decide? How do you take that application and decide what you're going to do week to week, month to month, year to year?
Yeah, there's a whole lecture there on programming. And what's interesting is that whether we're 5-on, 2-off, 3-on, 1-off, regardless of what the cycle is, we start at some day one, and there's a tremendous variance on what would be a good first workout. But when we work this in a group, and we often do at seminars, what you find is that on a day two, a consensus forms. And on day three, there's an amazing degree of unanimity that begins to form. And then I take a day off, and I come back, and I got way more agreement as to what this after a day off, given what the history was, what we'd do next. And it largely involves, we've got about 15 to 20 movements that we really like, maybe a dozen of them that count for about 80% of the programming. And you're always asking yourself, what way haven't we done in a while? And it keeps coming up. So it's highly intuitive, but it's certainly a learned process, and many of our affiliates, if not most at this point, have discovered the art of programming and can do similar kinds of things. But the prescription is constantly varied high-intensity functional movement. The current WOD page is one of those, and I will confess that we're pretty damn good at it. And currently the bulk of, say, like the CrossFit Games champions have been fairly strict WOD adherence, but that won't always be the case. And we have taken a charter quite deliberately of allowing a lot of experimentation. I want, you know, it's like a confederation of legitimate practitioners. I need variance and deviation in approach so that best practices can assert themselves. But I'd say 60 to 80% of the affiliates can program as well as any of us. And the end point is fairly much the same. Our line is this. So once you accept the prescription of constantly varied high-intensity functional movements, my line is this, is that the magic is in the movements. That is, you tell me, hey, I got this buddy man, and he just works functional movements. He's a rope climbing, throwing, punching, lunging, running, lifting, pressing maniac. I'm going to check. I got it. He's using functional movements. And then next thing I want to hear is it kicking his ass? You go, kick his ass and lay you out flat. I'm good. Now I have intensity. And then I'm going to ask, is he doing the same thing every time? You go, no, it's completely different. I'm going to tell you that 90% of the adaptation will come in about 80% of the people's interpretation of that charter. So what we say is the magic is in the movements, and I don't mean magic. I don't believe in magic. What I mean is the powerful adaptation. It's a neuroendocrine response in part, but the powerful adaptation that is the CrossFit adaptation is attributable to those functional movements. It's tied to them. It's part of what they're about. We say the art is in the programming, and there's some artistry. It's an intuitive process. It takes some development, but it's something everyone can and has and is learning. And we say the science is in the explanation. That's not, it's in the creation, but what happened and why, we lean on science. But if you're working in it with functional movements and you're getting your ass beaten and you're mixing it up, then you're doing as well as anyone else. That is the CrossFit story. Very easy to do. And beyond that, I think there's something about standing around a gym for almost 40 years administering this kind of stuff where you, believe it or not, get pretty good at it. So that I can tell on paper, looking at something that no one's ever done, somewhat what the reaction will be like, whether this thing's balanced or not, whether it's a couplet, two exercises, three or five, which will likely be relatively easiest in the effort, where the sandbagging may occur, where cheating might present itself, et cetera. You learn things, for instance, we're particularly fond, I mentioned here in this Fran workout, what I've done is I've got a classic bit of weight training movement, the front squat push press, coupled with a body weight movement. And those particular combinations are wildly effective, and nothing is more demonstrative of that effect than when I get the big guy and the little guy both thinking that the thing's been rigged against them. So the big guy's like, this Fran is fucked up because 45 pull-ups for a guy my size is not fair. And the little guy's, why am I using 95 pounds when this guy at twice my weight's using the same weight? This is not fair. And so if we make everyone unhappy, we're pretty sure that we're on the right path. So you don't have to be that smart. Yeah. I think that all of you, and certainly the bulk of CrossFitters, have figured out that no good comes of things easy. That if it doesn't knock you flat on your ass, if it doesn't require sacrifice, if it doesn't require character, courage, if it doesn't require that you give above and beyond what you thought you could give and get, that you're not getting anywhere. I know this is true of learning to play the violin. It's true of physics. It's true of true of chess. It's true, I'm sure, of being an elite combatant. One of the things that CrossFitters select for, this program selects for, is that no one has come to this program looking for the easy way. This is it. You're going to be sorely disappointed. Sorely disappointed. Which co-selects for a whole bunch of other very admirable character traits. Yeah, this is not the easy way. It's the holy grail of my industry. Like, hey, put this thing between your legs and do this shit. Watch TV and you can get really fit, you know? It doesn't work. It never has. I remember that's a thigh master I'm referring to. That girl's coming, doing this thigh master thing. I'm doing it every night. And I swear to God, my jeans are wearing out in the middle now. I think my legs are getting bigger. And I'm like, of course they are. That's what that does. Yeah, but it's easy. Sure. Yeah, easy's nothing. It's a waste.
Questions? Yes, sir.
Coach, I'm a personal trainer, and I've followed you for years and all the routines. But the one factor that I think we all have assumed that we all have in common here at CrossFitter is motivation. You talked about doing your workouts to get through up, and that's kind of the school I come from as well. When we look at taking this and applying it to like what we call unit PT or doing this Marine Corps wide, you do a complex movement like this thrust or whatever, you take individuals that A, have never lifted weights before, or even more importantly, they really don't want to do it. I envision that we're going to experience a lot of injuries down the road because if I tell someone I want you to do 21 of these thrusters and they're really not into it, we're going to have some problems. I wanted to hear your comments. Agree with that, or right. How we can take an education program to do this core wide?
Yeah, you bring up so many essential points here. First of all, I'm in perfect agreement. It would be perfectly irresponsible to take someone entirely green and expose them to this load, even if there weren't neuromuscular problems. You know, in terms of the line of action and being articulating sound and all that. I think my greatest threat would come if their movement were perfect. They've never seen any of these movements, and I'm probably going to rhabdo them. It could be fatal. You could kill someone with this. You may stand there wishing that the load had been too heavy, that they would have had trouble with the movements and mechanics of it and not been able to complete it. Muscular failure is a blessing against metabolic disaster, right? What we need to do is we need to learn the mechanics first and foremost, and we do that unlabeled. So what I want to do is, look, at 200 pounds, if I have you just mind France, you're just going to do 21 thrusters, and now 21 pulls. You're not doing anything, just making the movements. On the thruster part alone, I'm doing almost 50% of the work without any load in my hands at all. And what you'll find is you take a group of people through that as a warm-up and explaining the movements, and you're going to have about 15-20% of them leaned over breathing part, just minding the movement. I have to learn the mechanics first, and I have to work with them with some period of time until I can say I have consistently studied these mechanics and I can perform these movements with some modicum of success. I can also, then what I want to do is then and only then, after I've learned the mechanics, I've worked with them consistently, then and only then turn up the intensity, that is bringing the stopwatch to bear the matter. And to do otherwise would be a huge mistake. But, you know, the dose response curve on this kind of PT is very, very high. If you did 2 Pilates classes in a day, that's probably not dangerous. You do 3, 4, or 5, it won't kill you. You could with the WAD, no joke here, no laugh, you could kill someone with this PT. Okay? We've had some very serious metabolic injury with rhabdomyolysis. It's a very real threat to this kind of thing, and so you can't just open it up like that. But the dose response curve is so steep here that it catches a lot of people by surprise. And there's a skill component that must be addressed. Now imagine if you had only fought with rocks. There was no real danger in handing out rocks and not going to give you the rock throwing lesson. But suppose that the first step in instructing a firearm is everyone to hand out a rifle and start playing with it while I'm talking to you. You know, you'd have all kinds of AEDs going off and people dropping. And I mean, it is that kind of thing. I mean, unleashed a very, very potent weapon on a community that is largely inexperienced with this kind of potency. Okay? This is how potent it is. The medical community was fairly unaware, and I asked the doc here to substantiate this, the medical literature on the subject of rhabdo doesn't recognize rhabdo that takes place in a 5-minute duration. In fact, we saw a lawsuit dismissed because the plaintiff and the defense expert said that there's no way this workout could have caused this rhabdo. We're like, wow, okay. You know, I'm not, who might argue with experts? Let's let go. But there's a very, very real phenomenon there for sure. But let me talk about motivation. It cannot be that physical training is the only province in all of human achievement whereby standing over someone berating them, we elicit the highest levels of performance. Has anyone that ever achieved first chair of a major city philharmonic on violin got there because someone threatened them and called them a maggot? No, it never happened and never will. Did anyone ever get a Nobel Prize in physics because their father made fun of them? No, that's not how it happens. And people will not aspire, they will not achieve the highest levels of human performance given their genetic potential due to someone's coercion. It doesn't happen. Now, where does the rubber meet the road here? How does this look in application? We run these WODs, we run our workouts, we run group PT like sport. And what happens is, very first step, we use whiteboards, you can use chalkboard, you can do it in the sand, you can do it on a clipboard, but I love laying out a grid here, and we'll explain the movements in detail, we'll give you the standard, we'll give you the scoring, and what goes in this column here? Name, who are you? So I've got Smith, I've got Jones, I've got Bishop. You start throwing names up here, you get everyone's name, and an amazing thing happens right out of the gate, you get everyone going, oh shit, that one's me. Got it, check. We put you out there, we tell you what the rules are gonna be, what qualifies as a standard, we'll rehearse the movements so the mechanics are good. Another great place to train these movements. You'll see a form fault, an error in mechanics, in articulation, you'll stop a guy, Smith. No, a lot like that on the heels. Keep the back arch, chest up. If everyone's bad, we're not ready for the workout. Let's play with this thing some more. Let's just mime this thing. Let's just rehearse these movements. It's a perfect warm-up. Now, 3-2-0, by the way, any excuses? Because if your butt hurts or you have an earache or you know, I want you to write it on the board right now. I want to know ahead of time. We're not going to accept it afterwards. Let's hear it. It's funny. Everyone's like, oh, I'm good. Nobody wants to. I got a tummy ache, you know? But boy, you let them explain afterwards and you'll sure the hell hear about it. So, excuses, but we even had for a while all the big excuses, tired, that's number 6. So I don't even have to hear the shit, you can just say I'm a 5, a 7, and 11 this morning. Because I don't care. Fine, your tummy hurts, come in last. Ready, anything else? 3, 2, 1, go. Now, here's what we got out of this. There was some poor guy named Jones, I don't know, anyone here with that last name? If not, we'll pick another one. This guy Jones is traditionally BFL. He's got a long established history of being BFL. But something magical happened when we grid it out like this and start collecting times. It all of a sudden really mattered to him just how DFL he was. And you got a guy that's like, okay, here we go. I'm the rock. I'm always last. I'm cool with being last. That's who I am. Now all of a sudden with a group of guys standing around watching, looking, it really seemed to matter. It really seemed to matter. And running this thing, running PT as sport, where every iteration gives me a data point that can be used to measure the work capacity across broad time and modal domains. Every workout is an experiment. Take the data. What happened was what this did for the lower quartile was amazing. It lit a fire under those who were traditionally last, more so than anything we'd seen done before. In the broadest sense, what it did was it created outputs in terms of foot-pounds per minute expressed over some time domain that exceeded the work capacity that had prior been measured in a handful of domains. It also taught us some interesting things about human performance. For instance, we know that all human output is asymptotic to about 25,000 foot-pounds per minute at about the five-minute mark. And if someone said, hey, I weigh 375 pounds and I did a three-minute Fran, I know bullshit. It starts to sound like a 7-second 100. You with me? It's such an outlying, extraneous point that you have ample reason to discount the validity of it and ask for videotape.